welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm welcoming longtime listener but first-time participant Mel Oliver to the show to talk about his family's recent Walt Disney World vacation. Welcome to the show, Mel.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
So you took this trip just really a couple of weeks ago, and nice and fresh in your mind. You mentioned that this was a trip that was a kind of a celebration trip in a way, maybe a little by accident, but a celebration trip nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. It was about a couple weeks after my daughter's second birthday. So we were sure to kind of try to acknowledge that while we were there.
Of course. And so it was, you know, sort of a split vacation in a couple of different ways. You got to check out two different resorts, the traditional split stay, but you also got a split of sort of nuclear family time and extended family time as well.
Yeah, that's right. We got to spend a couple nights at Pop Century in one of the new renovated rooms in the 90s wing with just my immediate family, my wife, and our two-year-old daughter. And then we also got to spend, I think it was a total of five nights in a two-bedroom villa at Kidani Village with my parents. And so that
Very
was
nice.
Great to have some just, yeah, some extended family time together.
Great, great. Well, let's take, you know, a big step back and talk about how this trip came together in the first place, how it is that you sort of planned for a trip that was, you know, bifurcated this way. How far out did you start putting it together?
Yeah, so we started putting it together in February. We actually went to Walt Disney World in February with my parents. They have become DVC owners over the course of the last year. And so they invited us to go on a trip with them back in February, and we got to stay at Bay Lake Tower with them and had a great time. And they had plans to go back in September. And so we talked about, hey, why don't you come with us again? And my wife and I had the idea of, hey, it'd be really fun to maybe go down and have a night or two before meeting up with them to just have some time, the three of us together, kind of get acclimated to the fact that we've traveled and we have a young daughter, such that by the time we meet up with my parents, we're kind of ready to go and hit the parks and really start doing some of the heavy hitting of a Disney vacation. So that's, you know, a little over 6 months lead time.
Mm-hmm. So you had the full advance planning period to do all your dining reservations and all of that. Did you have any big plans related to the birthday or any sort of special event type things that were key parts of this particular trip's plan?
I'd say the only thing that we really jumped on early was we definitely wanted to do a character breakfast at the Crystal Palace, one of our mornings in the Magic Kingdom. And so we definitely jumped on that early. We knew that would be something my daughter would really enjoy. Okay. So we got that ADR pretty close to the 180-day mark just because those can go pretty quickly.
Sure. Yeah, those do go quick. So that was a special event piece for you. How do you travel to Walt Disney World?
We flew. We live in Columbus, Ohio, and so I actually work in the aviation industry, and we live pretty close to the airport. So being able to get over there and hop on a plane and get down to Orlando was fairly easy.
Nice. And the little one flies well. Did you do the lap child or did you buy a seat?
Well, it was like 2 weeks after she turned two, so that's where the cutoff is for needing to have your own ticket.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that was something we did have to plan ahead. We were able to kind of bundle together some credit card points and things like that to cut down on some of the expense. But she did great. So we were able to only have to do one connection on the way down, and on the way home we had a nonstop. So all in all, the air travel was very easy.
Excellent. And then you mentioned that you started at Pop Century and you had one of the newly renovated rooms. I actually just recently stayed in one of those myself. What did you think of it?
It was great. I had followed them pretty closely once we had made a decision that Pop Century was where we wanted to stay for a couple of nights, and had really been hoping we would have an opportunity to do that, simply just because the added space and knowing that my daughter is still at a point where a pack and play is a really good sleeping arrangement for her. I just felt like kind of the new layout of being able to have a Murphy bed that goes away during the day and things like that would just be really a good fit for us. So I did the 60-day online check-in ahead of time and requested a room in either the 80s or the 90s, as well as then did a fax a few days prior to going down, and it worked out. So
very nice. Yeah, I had good luck requesting it as well. In my case, I couldn't do as much as far out in advance, but what I found is that if you go to do the check-in at the desk and you just say, look, I'd prefer a renovated room and I'm not in a rush, I can wait. They really do. They appreciate that because there's always somebody who's late getting out of the room or a room that's late getting cleaned. And so having somebody who they know isn't going to get upset if they have to wait, they are usually pretty good about, saying thank you by granting requests.
Absolutely. And in our case, I think I got the room ready notification at like 2:40. So pretty close to the window of when they promised to have a room available for you. And that was fine for us. So.
Yeah, and that's actually really nice. I mean, we've had some experiences and I don't know, we haven't talked about the second half of your vacation yet, but it does tend, in my experience, to take longer, tends to be a longer delay when you're checking into some of the larger suites. And I think it's just a function of the fact that it takes three times as long to clean a two-bedroom suite as it does to clean, a single room.
Yeah, that's probably very true.
All right. So you mentioned, being at Pop, being in a renovated room, and that you thought that the fact that you could fold the Murphy bed away was going to be helpful and all of that. In terms of the experience with the room itself, talk about what stood out in experience, right? What worked and maybe anything that maybe didn't work that, you wish had worked better.
Yeah. So, for us, we mainly had the Murphy bed up during the day, just because when you have a stroller and you've got suitcases and things like that, it did feel a little bit tight, having the bed down. One thing I think worked really well for us, and this isn't necessarily a fit for every family, but our daughter really isn't going to sleep super great if she's in the same room as us. And so the Disney pack and plays will actually fit in the room that's the vanity portion of the room in the bathroom. Right. And you can pull that barn door across and turn it into its whole own room. So obviously, the rest of the bathroom is not super accessible during the night. But when you've got a child like ours where everyone's going to sleep better if there's a separator, that was that was clutch. So I was nervous about not getting a renovated room for that reason, because I wasn't sure that the curtain was necessarily going to cut it.
Yeah, that really is one of the most impactful changes, I think, that they have that. Sliding door instead of just the curtain. It's a lot more solid, and it definitely provides, not just more privacy in the bathroom, for using the bathroom in a smaller room, but it does give you that opportunity to, isolate a small child and give them their own sleeping area, even in a small value room.
Yeah, she ended up calling it her cozy room, so I think she liked it pretty well.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to forget, you also had arranged for a stroller with our sponsor, Kingdom Strollers.
We did, yeah.
Tell us all about your experience with Kingdom.
Yes, this is actually our second experience. Our previous trip in February, we also used them, and we're very pleased. And so we had set it up ahead of time. And what's nice with Kingdom is if you're doing a split stay like what we did, you can have it delivered to one resort and you can drop it off at your second resort. And there's no issue with doing that. Yeah. So it's very flexible, which was great. We had arranged to have it, you know, available at Pop by noon, knowing that we weren't even landing in Orlando till about 12:15. So we knew it would certainly be at the resort by the time we arrived. And we got to our resort and our daughter had fallen asleep on Magical Express. So she and my wife were just hanging out inside the Classic Hall and I was kind of taking care of things. And so I went out to Bell Services, and this was maybe one of the only things that kind of didn't work super well on the trip. I spoke with one of the cast members at Bell Services and they could not find our stroller. Yeah. And so went ahead and contacted Kingdom and they were great and got back to us very quickly, confirmed that it was delivered and gave some information. So I went back to the cast member and he eventually found it. So that was certainly no reflection of Kingdom. That was just however the strollers were organized in their back room. He may not have been able to find it, but all in all, we got it. It was no big deal. We just do the basic City Minis, like their kind of entry level stroller, and it's great. It folds up really nice and tight. It's very comfortable. And it's frankly got a lot of utility to it. We hang stuff on it and stuff, stuff underneath. So when you have a child and you're traveling in a group, just to be able to put a bag on it and not have to lug it around almost makes the stroller worth it in itself. And so really nice not have to mess with that through the airports. And the pricing is very, very reasonable, especially when you consider the alternative of renting direct from Disney. It's night and day different. Yeah. So, you know, about a week of Kingdom strollers is like a day or two of renting direct from Disney. So it's a huge value.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, so I'm glad to hear you had such a good experience. It mirrors mine, but, you know, it's been a while for me, right? My kids are now, now 10 and 15. So we haven't been in strollers for a bit.
Yeah.
But good to hear things are still going well there.
Yeah. So, we've been really happy.
So, preliminaries away, we're now at Pop Century for a couple of days, and you mentioned that that was going to be kind of some settle-in time. Did you go ahead and visit parks as well, or did you just take it slow for the first part of your vacation?
On our arrival day, we did not plan to go to a park. We had hoped to be able to just enjoy the pool and maybe go to Disney Springs or something, but unfortunately, the weather really didn't cooperate our first day. And so we had gotten all ready to go to the pool, and we were walking down to the main Hippy Dippy pool, and we actually got stranded in the 70s wing in the middle of a rainstorm. And that was right after Hurricane Maria had kind of come up through the Caribbean. And so it was actually like a really like last vestiges of the little bit of Maria on the outer edge. And what was throwing me off, being from the Midwest where we don't have hurricanes, is the clouds were moving in the wrong direction. And so I was like, oh, it's not going to rain. It's dark over there. And the next minute it's like pouring down rain because it's all, you know, it's spiraling like a hurricane.
It's so rotation. And
exactly.
In the Midwest, so when we get rotation, it's a smaller, tighter rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately we didn't get to enjoy the pool that day, but we still ended up having, you know, just some time in the room together. We went down to Everything Pop and had dinner. My daughter has some different dietary needs. And so that was our first experience kind of interacting with the chefs at the quick service and making sure that we were able to get something that she could eat and enjoy. And throughout the entire experience of Walt Disney World, it was great. We never had an issue and there's tons of options. So I guess that's the one little piece of advice. If you have someone in your travel party with dietary needs, like always ask, because everywhere has options, even if it's not super clear that they do.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And they're always really helpful, even at quick service counters, to help you, you know, find a solution that will work well for you. It really is something that, you know, it stands out. It's not necessarily something that happens everywhere, at least not at the level of sort of, I don't know, generosity is part of it, or efficiency maybe is part of it too, right? Because they expect it. But in any case, we've had similar experience. Yeah. All right, well, so let's move on to the parks and talk about parks. Obviously, you're traveling with a little one, and usually that means that the Magic Kingdom is a highlight. But why don't we start there? And
sure.
Was there anything in particular that was a sort of must do for your time in the Magic Kingdom on this trip?
Yeah, so we definitely wanted to go and meet Mickey Mouse. We had a fast pass planned ahead for that. We did that on our last visit. And it was the first time for any of us to have gone to meet the talking Mickey. And that was great. And watching my daughter's reaction was priceless. So we definitely wanted to go and experience that again. And it was just as good as we remembered. I think the one thing that we got to experience was the fact that Mickey's multilingual. And we had a group in front of us that I think was either Portuguese or Spanish speaking natively, and Mickey interacting with them and watching that family group get to have a personal experience was really cool. You know, where else can you do that? So, and then we got to go and enjoy that. So that was a lot of fun. The one downer there was something happened with the PhotoFast photographer and our pictures never showed from that experience. So that was a bit of a bummer, but
okay, wait, all is not lost.
Right.
I bet you didn't realize this, but if you have other pictures from that same day, especially, reach out, go into My Disney Experience, go to the section for PhotoPass, and there's an email address there for PhotoPass help. If you email them, let them know that, you know, you visited Mickey Mouse, you know what day it was, you even know roughly what time because you got a fast pass, right? Give them all that information, and if you can send them another photo of what you all were wearing, often they can find the photo for you.
Oh, that's a good tip.
And it's within a couple of weeks, so there's a decent chance it's still, you know, on the server there, and they can find it for you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're really good about helping with that. I mean, they understand, you know, it happens, and they don't... it's in their best interest to find it for the guests, so...
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah. So it sounds like you, at least, you know, photo or not, you had a good experience with the whole talking Mickey thing. Now, did you get, she's old enough now, it sounds like, that, is she questioning why only Mickey talks?
No, she hasn't put that one quite together.
Okay.
Yeah. But still really enjoyed that. And then it was also kind of fun as we came out, we were outside and she was dressed up. She has a Minnie Mouse dress and these ears, you know, and the whole cutesy thing you do with your daughters. And the kind of citizens of Main Street multiple times stopped and were talking to her and kind of making a fuss over her. And that was really fun. We got a lot of pixie dust on Main Street that morning. The trolley car show had gone by. And my dad and I had ran into the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom because I think my brother had asked my dad to pick up some cards for him while they were down there. And during that time, my mom and my wife and my daughter went into the trolley house where they keep it. And a cast member invited them to come in and sit on the trolley. And the trolley show cast members came in and sang happy birthday to my daughter while she sat in the trolley in the trolley house.
Oh, awesome. So,
that was pretty cool.
Yes, that's very cool.
So we had that, and then our like third. This is all within like a 30-minute period. We had another guest walking down the street, stopped and came over and talked to us, and asked if we were going to be at the resort for a few more days. And we said that we would, and she gave my daughter her balloon because it was her last day.
Aww.
So just lots of like little things that morning were really fun. That were kind of like, this only happens here. You know, this is sure. Why we come here.
Very nice. All right. So, all kinds of good stuff there at Magic Kingdom. Any other experiences in the Magic Kingdom stand out? And we'll get to Crystal Palace in a minute, but
yeah.
Anything else, other than the one that we know is coming?
You know, the Aladdin's Magic Carpet gets a ton of grief. And I kind of get it. But at one point I randomly took my daughter on it, and I think it was her highlight of the trip. She was so excited just to get on that with me and fly on the magic carpet. So that was a lot of fun. I think this kind of goes back to the fact that there's always a target audience for everything, right? And, you know, a simple attraction really makes your child's day. And so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. You know, there's you never know what's going to be the one, especially at that age, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's then go ahead and talk a little bit about Crystal Palace, though. So this was a big, important one for you, and you've made this reservation well in advance. Did your parents join you for that, or was it just you?
Yeah, no, okay. We did that as a whole family.
All right. So how was your experience at Crystal Palace?
It was great. You know, we checked in and we got sat to our table really quickly, and we were there at, I think, around 9:30 in the morning. So it's prime breakfast hour. It's busy. It's loud. It's kind of what you expect from a character meal, but it was great. And, you know, the characters were throughout both sides of the restaurant all the time. I can't even count how many times we saw the characters. So that was a lot of fun. I think my daughter enjoyed watching them interact with other families just as much as she did interacting with them herself. So, you know, we really enjoyed that. And the food was great. I think one of the random highlights, they had this breakfast casserole, and it's some combination of pancakes and waffles and something, custard, I don't even know, all combined into one thing. It can't possibly be good for you, but it was delicious. And kind of same thing back to the dietary needs, able to get things like dairy-free, gluten-free Mickey waffles, and they taste just as good as the real thing, you know? So stuff like that really makes the experience well worth it.
Sure. Absolutely. And it sounds like good character interaction there as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Pooh stopped by and probably spent, it felt like 5 minutes. I'm sure it wasn't, but I really felt like they took their time. And I think sometimes you expect in a breakfast setting for it to be pretty quick, but it didn't feel rushed at all.
Very nice. All right. So that's sounds like it kind of covers most of what happened for you and what the highlights were at Magic Kingdom. So let's go ahead and hop on that monorail and head over to the Food and Wine Festival. And, you know, talk a little bit about your experiences with Epcot.
Yeah, so that was – we really didn't spend much time at Epcot in some of our previous trips. So we actually kind of dedicated a whole day to Epcot this time around. And just got to enjoy some different things. I really tried to focus a lot on this trip for picking things I knew my daughter would enjoy. So we went over and did the Living Seas. I know in our local zoo, she really enjoys the aquarium and seeing things like the manatees and stuff like that. So I had a feeling she would enjoy that, and she did. And so it was nice to be there in the morning because that's not an area that gets very busy early on. And so it was really open, and she could kind of run around and run from, you know, tank to tank and look at all the different things going on. There were scuba divers in the tank doing different various things. And so that was neat to kind of see stuff going on in a pavilion that I don't think gets a lot of love these days. So, you know, definitely enjoyed kind of getting to see some of the stuff that I think we're often in a hurry and kind of skip over. So enjoyed that. Got to have some random character interaction that she enjoyed. We met Daisy Duck right outside Spaceship Earth. she was just there meeting guests as we came in the park. So we hopped in and got to meet with her. And just another example of where, you know, I grew up going to the parks with my family, but we never really did a whole lot with the characters. And so I think I kind of always assumed it was just sort of like, all right, kid, go stand up there next to this character and smile and take a picture and move on. But I'm always really impressed how the characters are taking the time to interact with the guests and kind of letting my daughter, who's a 2-year-old and acts like a 2-year-old and has the attention span of a 2-year-old, but they're kind of meeting her in that moment. So when she's pointing out something on their outfit that she's excited about, instead of standing there taking a picture, they're just playing with her and having fun. And so, you know, those were definitely, that was kind of a highlight moment of something that we didn't expect to necessarily do at Epcot.
Sure. So yeah, and I think there's some really fun character interactions at Epcot that people don't think about. I mean, there are a number of them that are classic character interactions that, you know, are easy to overlook. Things like Donald outside the Mexico Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so much fun and a little different and unique and gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah, we met Mickey and Minnie and Goofy. They're kind of in the Innoventions, I guess, West area, and did that interaction. And that was great. You know, she enjoyed that a lot as well. Something new that we got to do is we did get to go check out the DVC lounge above the Imagination Pavilion, because we were with my family and were able to go do that. So that was a nice little reprieve because it was late September and classic 90-degree weather in Florida. So, you know, enjoyed a little AC there. And then we also did go and do the Royal Summer House and met the Anna and Elsa meet and greet as well. So that was fun too.
Great, great. Any dining in Epcot that was notable?
Yeah, we went to the Tangerine Cafe
and
had lunch there. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of, you know, Middle Eastern style food in general, and most of my family is. So we went over there and enjoyed that. And it was kind of nice to have this sort of open air, you know, dining experience in a quick service setting. So that was great. And it was, as I had heard, I've heard, you know, people talk about Tangerine Cafe numerous times on this show and other places. And it was kind of, it's surprising that it's not a busier place, because I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's really good quality, plenty of food, and sorely overlooked by too many people.
Yeah, by far.
All right, so there's Epcot. Time to hop on that friendship boat over to Hollywood Studios. Hollywood Studios strikes me as a really challenging park these days with a little one.
It was. We tried our best to kind of plan that. And believe it or not, it was actually the first park we visited. We, just the three of us, went there on Sunday prior to meeting up with the rest of our family, and had really just kind of planned to spend a morning there, and had structured fast passes accordingly. The one thing that did happen is we all ended up waking up pretty early. And so we actually arrived right at the start of Extra Magic Hours, which we hadn't budgeted our time for, but it's just kind of what happened.
Right.
And so that was a nice kind of unexpected plus there. We ended up heading straight back to Toy Story, just because we knew that was something that our daughter could ride with us, even if she didn't quite understand what was going on. And so we went ahead and got on that ride. Unfortunately, that did not go super well. I think just the noise and the, you know, they puff air at you and different things like that. And when you don't have the 3D glasses on and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, I think it was a little scarier than we had anticipated it to be for a 2-year-old. So unfortunately, that was not her favorite experience of the week.
Okay.
And so just kind of one of those examples of, you never quite know how your child's going to react to everything.
Right.
And so we did that, and after that, we ended up kind of just needing to take a break because she was a little overwhelmed by it. So we found there's a great little kind of off-the-beaten-path nook there right outside the animation courtyard next to, I think it's Brown Derby. There's just like a little tucked away area with some benches, and you can kind of sit there and just watch the world go by.
Yeah. There's a nice quiet little spot there, and it's one of those spots that I'm not sure is going to last a whole lot longer, but for the time being is really nice and relaxing.
Yeah, it was great. And it was funny because occasionally stormtroopers, you know, would come out from launch bay and head out, you know, by the Chinese theater. And I wasn't sure what my daughter would think of that either. And so she started referring to them as the silly guys. And every time she saw them, she goes, "There goes those silly guys," you know? And so that was actually kind of funny. That was one of my favorite lines of the whole trip, was talking about the silly guys walking up and down the street. So,
right.
We kind of just enjoyed our morning, took our time. We went and did some of just the stuff that I've never even thought about stopping and doing, because typically when I'm at Hollywood Studios, I'm off wanting to do Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster and Star Tours. So we went and did Voyage of the Little Mermaid. We met some Disney Junior characters. We did the Disney Junior live on stage, and kind of just tried to do stuff that we knew that she would enjoy. You know, meeting the Disney Junior characters, common theme here, the character meet and greets were great for her this whole trip. She enjoyed that. The one thing with the Disney Junior live on stage, while it is a show that's absolutely geared towards that preschool crowd, it's kind of tough to see even for an adult, because you sit on the floor below the stage and then it's hand puppets.
Yeah.
And it was surprising to me that was the format, because I'm not sure how much, you know, the sight lines are pretty tough for being something that's geared for young children.
Right. No, I understand that. Yeah. It's not a show that I usually do, so I hadn't thought about it before, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, she still enjoyed it, and the live cast member who's kind of the host of the show is great with getting everybody involved and interacting with your kids and doing stuff like that. So we still enjoyed it. It was just something I didn't know it was necessarily going to be a puppet show per se. I thought there was going to be, actors, and so that was an interesting thing. And then you know, we were getting close to lunchtime and it was our first day there and still kind of tired from travel. So that was it. We just kind of spent our morning at Hollywood Studios and ended up going back and just doing some other things around the resort for the rest of the day.
Okay. Okay. So we've got one last park to talk about, and that's Disney's Animal Kingdom, which obviously had a lot new going on there. So, you know, what was your experience at Animal Kingdom like?
So Animal Kingdom was great, and I think it has quickly become, I guess I would say, my second favorite park. You know, the Magic Kingdom will always, I think, be number one for me, but Animal Kingdom has really shot up there, even beyond the additions of Pandora, which we'll get into that. But we just had some great interaction with kind of the streetmosphere that were there. We ended up, the day we went to Animal Kingdom was the day we met up with the rest of our family, and we met them over kind of by Pizzafari and ended up going back towards Harambe, and they had the, I think it's the Tam Tam drumming group, I think might be what they're called, just out interacting with everybody, and they ended up grabbing my dad and pulling him in, and he's in there dancing and literally only being silly because we're there egging him on and, you know, pulling in other guests and stuff. And we probably stood there for 15, 20 minutes and enjoyed this. And I think that is something that makes that park really enjoyable, is when you stop and you take the time to enjoy something random that you don't necessarily have planned or have thought out 60 days in advance. Just because, you know, it's so, it really kind of gets you into the spirit that this is a different place and this is very unique.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that, you know, just the all of the various park entertainment that's going on at Disney's Animal Kingdom is really at another level these days. Really wonderful musicians, and they always fit well, right, with their environment. I mean, it's not just that they're good musicians playing fun music, but it fits the environment. It just really makes everything feel that much more immersive.
It was great. And the thing that you can also tell is that these cast members are having a ball doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so you buy it because they're buying it, right?
Yes,
and so I really appreciate that. That was a lot of fun. So, you know, we kind of spent the morning doing stuff like that. We enjoyed the Festival of the Lion King, which is always great. That's definitely on a must-do for me. I really, really enjoy that show. And then we headed over.
That's an interesting one to me. Was your daughter not freaked out by, like, the fire juggling stuff or the because I know sometimes little ones can get a little freaked out by some of the bizarreness of some of the elements of Festival of the Lion King.
You know, and I think that's just kind of some of my daughter's idiosyncrasies, is that stuff didn't bother her, but, you know, Toy Story Midway Mania completely freaked her out, right? And so it's just right. Every kid's going to be different, I think. She really enjoyed it. She loved the huge animatronics on the floats that come out in each corner, and watching the different dancers. She loved the scene where there's the two birds that are kind of dancing, and the red bird kind of goes up in the air and is, you know, swinging around the room and stuff. Like, she was pretty mesmerized with a lot of that. So I think it just depends on your child. But our daughter loved it.
Excellent. All right. So we've talked parks. Let's circle back to the second part of your resort stay. And you were staying in a two bedroom at Animal Kingdom Lodge with your parents. You know, you followed the sort of split stay style that I always recommend, which is, if you're going to go between a value and a deluxe resort, always start at the value and end at the deluxe, not vice versa.
Right.
But talk a little bit about the transition. What did you do? How did you manage getting from Pop over to Animal Kingdom Lodge, just sort of logistically?
Yeah, we had debated, and literally my planning for the whole trip, my plan had been to get up that morning, get our stuff together, get an Uber, take our things to Kidani, and then head to the parks for the day. And we got up that morning and I was just thinking about it, and frankly, it just sounded like a hassle. And so we got our things together. We packed one bag that we would keep with us for the day, and I took our things to Bell Services and requested a transfer. And you know what? It ended up working out great. I think I was concerned about, you know, are we going to need things during the day? How long is that going to take? And I ended up just thinking, like, why don't we just pack a bag with some essentials, you know, things like swimsuits, that kind of stuff, and send the rest over. And when it gets there, we'll be fine. And I'm really glad we did. It ended up being super easy. We just had a backpack with us that we got a locker for when we went to the park.
Very nice. That's a nice kind of combination too, right? It didn't have to be all or nothing. You sent most of your stuff over. You took extra stuff with you to the park that you might not have otherwise taken, but you stashed it in a locker at the front of the park and didn't worry about it.
Exactly. And our bags showed up at Kidani within an hour of our room being available. So ended up lining up perfectly.
Yeah. I once doing a switch like that, I hadn't really intended to do it, but I had slipped my iPad into one of the bags that was being transferred. And it was really amusing because I could log in using Find Friends.
That's hilarious.
And I could watch I could watch my luggage making its way across property.
That's funny.
All right. So it sounds like that went well. Now, talk a little bit about the two-bedroom suite at Kidani, especially obviously compared to the room at Pop Century, which was a nice newly renovated room, but a value resort room as opposed to a two-bedroom deluxe suite.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, and there's a ton of space, especially when you figure that, you know, technically you could accommodate a group even larger than what we had in this room set up because of all the sleeping arrangements. So it was more than enough room for our group. The main living room is quite spacious, a full kitchen, and when we stay in these places, my family does actually do a fair amount of cooking, and so you know, my mom kind of covers all of that, but we have groceries delivered and they handle all of those logistics. We just get to benefit from the fact that, we all get to enjoy, fresh food, but, you know, the bedrooms were very spacious. You have three full bathrooms in the Kidani two bedrooms. And that's not always the case at all the deluxe villas. But yeah, Kidani is one of the
resorts.
It's
almost unique, I think, to Kidani. Well, not unique, but it's, I think Kidani was sort of the first to get the extra bathroom there.
Mm-hmm. We had an extra bathroom and a two bedroom in Bay Lake Tower as well.
Right.
So I know there's a few of them, but yeah, so that's great because like we did at Pop, my daughter slept in the bathroom in one of the bedrooms. And so to be able to just use that third bedroom, or that third bathroom, you know, was great for a late night shower or things like that. And the other great feature is the balcony is huge. So the balcony actually connects all three of the rooms. So the two bedrooms and the main center room, it runs along the whole thing. We did have a savanna view. So, you know, we enjoyed that and kind of the freedom to just leave the windows open and kind of come in and out and enjoy, you know, the surroundings.
Sure. Yeah, I love that balcony. I mean, it's weird. When I stay in those rooms at Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's just about the only time that I'm sometimes actually reluctant to get moving to a park, right? Because I'm just as happy sitting with my coffee on the balcony there, just watching the savanna.
Yeah, we did it every morning, and it's great.
All right. Anything else about Animal Kingdom Lodge that, you know, stood out to you or that caught your attention?
You know, we got really lucky in our room location. So Kidani is a big sprawling resort just in terms of length. And we were in like the first building segment just off of the lobby. And so we had a really easy walk, you know, when we'd come back from a resort. It was one where I'd be thankful because you'd look across the savanna and see another room. And you'd think, I wonder how long it takes to walk there. And so I will say we definitely got lucky in that regard. I didn't have an opportunity to actually eat a meal at Sanaa, but we did go down and enjoy a drink in the lounge. And that was really nice.
You know, that's a lounge that doesn't get its due, I think, a lot of times. People forget it's over there. And it's a nice little lounge. I mean, it doesn't get the attention that either the Victoria Falls does or, even the little lounge there outside Gico. But I think in some ways it's nicer than the lounge out in front of Gico.
Yeah, I think so too, because we've been to that lounge as well. And yeah, Sanaa's lounge just kind of had a coziness, mm-hmm. you know, that we enjoyed. There is a shuttle that connects the kind of two portions of the Animal Kingdom lounge. So we did take the shuttle down to Jumbo House. My wife and I got away one evening and went and had dinner at Jiko and went to the Victoria Falls lounge and did that. So that's nice. They have that service. So that's certainly great if you're staying at Kidani. You don't have to feel like you're completely separated from Jumbo House.
Right. Well, talk about your dinner at Jiko. What did you think of it?
It was the second time we've eaten there. We ate there about 3 years ago and really enjoyed it. So I was looking forward to going back. And it didn't disappoint. The menu had changed pretty extensively from the last time we were there. I would say my wife and I are both pretty adventurous eaters. Certainly there's some things that we're more partial to. I had they have a Malaysian seafood curry. That was right up my alley. And if you enjoy that kind of thing, it's excellent. We enjoyed the wine as well. That's one thing that's great is I enjoy wine, but I know nothing about wine. So I love being able to go in there and basically tell our server, hey, we're interested in eating this. What would go well with it? I don't care what it is. Just bring it to me, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And just knowing that you're going to bring me something, I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to be great. You know, so I definitely enjoy that specifically about Jiko. I remember the last time we were there, our server told us that it's the second largest collection of South African wine outside of South Africa.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, if you haven't done it before, I highly recommend at some point they do once a week, and I believe it's still Wednesday afternoons, they do a wine tasting at Jiko at about 4 o'clock, which is really annoying because the Simba's Club, the child club there, doesn't open till 5.
Okay.
But the wine tasting is at 4, which I learned from personal experience. But in any case, the wine tasting is a fantastic experience. It's not cheap, but it's not exorbitantly priced given what it is. And it was the best experience. The sommelier comes out and you get a whole rundown of the history there of exactly what you were talking about, right? Their wine collection and being, you know, this collection from South Africa. And in a lot of ways, Jiko and Animal Kingdom Lodge rescued the South African wine industry because apartheid almost destroyed it. And coming out of apartheid, the timing was perfect. It was just as they were building Animal Kingdom Lodge and the chef who was in charge of restaurants for Animal Kingdom Lodge immediately reached out and, you know, in many cases bought the entire output of South African vineyards.
Oh, wow.
That allowed them really to get rolling again. It's a great story. And really a fantastic wine collection as a result.
Yeah. Well, and we got to, you know, if you know anything about South African wines, you kind of know that Pinotage is their thing. So if you've never had a Pinotage, go to Jiko and try one out. You can mark that one off your list.
Yeah. Great advice. Any other dining experiences throughout the week that we haven't talked about yet that, stood out one way or another?
Yeah, we took our daughter when it was just the three of us, and we went over to Wilderness Lodge and got to have dinner at Whispering Canyon, which was a new experience for all of us, both going to the lodge but also enjoying the restaurant. So that was a lot of fun. I had heard, you know, bits and pieces, and I knew that there was kind of a shtick going on at Wilderness Lodge. I'd heard about the ketchup and stuff like that, so we thought that would be a fun thing for us to go and check out, and we really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that one a lot too. Any other dining that was worth mentioning?
You know, I am a big sucker for the fresh fruit waffle at Sleepy Hollow. So one afternoon, my wife and I made a special trip to go and enjoy one of those.
Excellent. Anything that supports Sleepy Hollow. I mean, that's not my waffle of choice, right? My waffle of choice is still the spicy chicken waffle sandwich. But, I'm all for anything that supports Sleepy Hollow.
It's great. I feel like it's another one of those things that is kind of underappreciated, but that's fine with me because the wait's never too long.
That's right. All right. So we've kind of covered, you know, all around property. We covered dining. Anything that we haven't talked about that was a standout moment or element of the trip?
Yeah, well, I would say two things. One was getting to experience Pandora, and the other one was we got to enjoy the minivan service a few times.
Okay. Well, yeah, why don't we start with the park piece? Talk about Pandora. What stood out about it? What was your overall impression?
Sure. Well, my wife and I actually watched the movie again. She had never seen it, and I saw it in the theaters. And so we watched it again, a couple months ago, earlier this summer, sort of in preparation, just wanting to kind of have just the story fresh in our mind. So I enjoy it. I think it's a pretty decent movie. It's really long, but I enjoy it. And so I was looking forward to kind of seeing how they take that aesthetic into a real environment. And because I knew we had this trip upcoming, I really didn't want to spoil much of it for myself. So I tried to shy away from too much of the things on social media and the blogs. So it was a lot of fun to kind of go in and actually see in person these things I've heard described. I think that, like I've continued to hear people say, you don't really have to know the movie and the story to enjoy the area of the park. I think, we got to experience both Navi River Journey and Flight of Passage. My biggest thing with Navi River Journey is I wish the show building was larger. That was the thing I think that surprised me the most, was how tight and close in all the scenes were. Mm-hmm, I was expecting it to be a larger feeling space. You go past that incredible animatronic, and the fact that you're so close is great because you get to see all the detail. But in my mind, I envisioned the shaman being off, on the side doing their thing, right? And we took our daughter on that. The fact that it's kind of a tame ride and you're just enjoying the pretty scenery is a great thing if you're there with young kids. And so we got to do that. We had lunch at Satuli Canteen. It is absolutely as good as everybody says it is. The food was delicious. I also enjoyed the beer. I know I've heard kind of mixed reactions to that.
Which beer did you drink? Did you drink the green one or the regular colored one?
The regular colored one. Okay. So I think it's like the Highlander Grog or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I actually had that on two occasions because I enjoyed it. So that was really good. The food is great. I think I did the potato hash with the beef and the chimichurri sauce. Mm-hmm. So really, really good. And then my dad and I ended up waiting out Flight of Passage. We did it one evening. We'd come back to the park to do a night safari, and then we got in line about 30 minutes to park closing. And I think it had a posted wait of about 90 minutes, and I think we were into the pre-show by about 50 minutes. So it wasn't too bad, and I really wanted to experience the queue given just all the work they've done on it.
Sure.
It was great. The only thing that I kind of missed out on is I think you can, especially in that particular queue, the outside portion, I think would be better during the day because you are elevated up on the side of the hill and you can kind of look down into everything.
Right. Having done it recently during the day, did it first thing in the morning. The thing that impressed me about the queue more than anything else, during the day like that, was they did such a nice job of making sure that the majority of that queue provides some nice shade without it being dark, right? It's that, so much of the environment there in, I love that I can kind of describe this without giving away much, but so much of the environment in Pandora is kind of multi-layered that there are things that cast shadows that kind of, overhang a bit without being enclosed. And so you still get a breeze, you still, see the sunlight, but not only does it help the environment be even more immersive because there's this great depth to everything and, kind of layers of depth, but it allows a lot of that cue to provide shade without being in a cave.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. It may also even, frankly, be one of the less hot areas in all of Animal Kingdom.
Yes, I think so.
Which is kind of surprising. you know, but definitely enjoyed the attraction once we got inside. Now, Aaron, did they do a thing when you waited through the queue, when you kind of go inside for the first time, they kept stopping the queue for a little while and only letting so many people through. And I overheard the cast member tell a guest that the reason was because there's not a lot of airflow in that portion of the queue, and they do it to keep everybody from overheating.
I think that's an excuse.
Okay.
because there is another term for that. They call it stacking. And there are lots of reasons for stacking the queue. I've never heard that particular excuse for stacking the queue. Usually the reason they stack the queue is because they're manipulating guest behavior. Basically, what happens is it's the same kind of functionally the same as the fact that if you look at the posted wait times for any attraction that has a wait as long as Flight of Passages is right now, they're always lying.
Right.
Yeah, they're always telling you that it's at least 20 minutes longer than it really is.
Sure.
And they do it to try to encourage bulking, right? To encourage people to not get in the line because it helps keep that line from being interminable. Well, the same thing is encouraged by stacking, because if they leave a gap in the inside portion of the line, if you're outside, you can't see that there's a gap inside, and it makes the line extend farther outside.
And that makes sense, because when we got in line, it was kind of, you know, you sort of zigzag up the side of the hill on the outside, yeah. And we were maybe a couple zigzags before we stopped, you know. Yeah, right. And but we got in. The pre-show is really great. I think it's kind of like a more modern, up-to-date sort of feel to the pre-show in Dinosaur. It's kind of the closest thing I can compare it to.
I could see that. Similar.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm a bigger guy, and I had, you know, so I've been paying close attention to just the different body size comments that people have had about fitting on the attraction and things like that, and knowing a few other people that have gone down there that I think are kind of similar in size to me being able to ride it. I felt pretty confident about being able to do that. And so we got in to the room, and I got onto the ride, and the leg supports went into place for me fine. But it's the back support. I had heard that, you know, the cast member is looking for it to click twice, and mm-hmm. it only clicked once for me. Which, you know, sends this little moment of like, oh no, what are we doing here? But the cast member was great. And she's like, all right, sir, like, I'm going to unlock it and then we're going to let it go and I'm going to push. Is that okay? And I was like, sure. Yeah. So I'm pulling, she pushes, it clicked twice. We're good. Yeah. So, that was good. But I will say, if anything, the adrenaline rush from that made the ride maybe a little bit more intense than it actually is. Just cause I was already a little bit up there. But all that being said, really enjoyed the attraction. Was kind of sad I only got to do it one time this trip, but looking forward to going and experiencing it again, just because I think there's so many different things that you could see. The goggles that you wear kind of restrict some of your field of vision more so than you would if you didn't have something on your face. And so I'm sure there were things on screen that I didn't notice that, yeah. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to getting to experience again. And then if someone could somehow bottle the Pandora smell, I would love to just smell that all the time.
Well, yeah. Like the Soarin' Orange, right?
Right. Exactly. So if anything, that may have been my favorite was the smell-o-vision. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed to me what really impressed me about Flight of Passage is that I made a conscious effort to look all around, right? Because I knew that the basic tech was borrowed from Soarin'. And, mm-hmm. and I was a little concerned because, you know, the digital version of Soarin' that we've got now has those weird skewing issues.
Right.
And I was a little concerned that we'd get some of that. So I made a conscious effort to kind of look to the sides, look up, look down, anything but looking where they wanted me to look, right? And I was blown away. I mean, everything maintained its proper proportion, shape, size, motion. I mean, it was seamless.
Well, and the other thing that blew me away is how they were able to kind of incorporate like a sense of excitement. I wouldn't necessarily call it intensity, but just a sense of movement that you don't necessarily get in Soarin' without it actually being a ride that's physically moving you that much.
Right. Yeah, that definitely that sort of propulsion feel.
Yeah, so that was really great. That was a ride that I kind of had to process my thoughts on for a couple of days before I realized how I felt about it, just because there's so much to take in. So definitely looking forward to getting to experience that again in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was blown away. All right. So those were the two things there at Animal Kingdom. I think you said maybe there was one other thing that you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, we got to try out the minivans on a couple of occasions. So because we were guests at an Animal Kingdom Lodge resort, at the time that was still included in the rollout. I think it's expanded a little bit since we were there a few weeks ago. But, you know, it was great. I went up to the concierge desk in the, you know, kind of in the lobby and asked for a code to activate it on the Lyft app, because that's what I had read online they were doing. But other people in our traveling group, when they turned on My Disney Experience, it started inviting them to like use the service on Lyft. So I think there's been a slight change in how Disney is rolling this out to guests, at least that I wasn't necessarily aware of. So it was very easy to use. We used it one morning just to take the morning we had the ADR at Crystal Palace. We just had a couple other things going on. And so we took it from Kidani to the Magic Kingdom. And so that was great because they drop you off in the bus loop in stall 11. So you're basically the closest possible point they could drop you off to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. And then we did it again on two occasions, actually coming home at the end of the night from Magic Kingdom after watching Happily Ever After. So it was always to and from Magic Kingdom that we used it. But it was great. And I think for our specific travel party, the price point made sense. We had four adults and we had a child in a car seat. It may not be the right fit for every traveling group, but for us, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. And, you know, tell me a little bit about the car seat issue. I mean, that's one of the things they've been touting, that, you know, they definitely have the car seats available and the drivers are trained in the installation of them. What was your experience with the car seat and the, you know, the whole process there with the driver?
Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest way to think about it is to compare it to the alternative, right? So down there in Orlando anyways, Uber has the option to get an Uber family, whether that be with an UberX or an UberXL. And that just means that there's a car seat available in the vehicle and you pay a little bit more than the standard rate to have that. Well, we used that one night when we were still staying at Pop, and the vehicle arrived, the driver came, and it was a glorified booster seat. I wouldn't really call it a car seat. Okay. And so it just wasn't a super great experience. Turn that into a minivan. Your cast member arrives, they hop out, they meet everyone in the party, they see that we have a young child, they ask how old she is, and she's two, so some two-year-olds will face forward, some will face rear. They ask what our preference was. We said we'd like her to be rear-facing. They open the back of the Chevy Traverse, and there's two Graco car seats, like big, hefty-looking, solid car seats. The driver goes, installs it, shows us how to properly make sure that our daughter is secured in it. Then we all kind of get on our way. And I was chit-chatting with Christopher, who was our cast member the first time we drove. And he was telling me that part of their training to be minivan drivers is they undergo a 5-hour car seat installation training.
Wow.
Which, you know,
they're not screwing around.
Yeah, exactly. And so that just really instills some confidence, right? Like, it's probably better installed than the one in our car, you know? So that, you know, and that's great. And we had two other different cast members later on during our time that we used the service, and it was the same experience every time. So just kind of their attention to detail there was great. You know, really enjoyed that. And, you know, at the end of the night, to load your group up and have your child in a car seat and be in a nice air conditioned vehicle on your way back to your resort, the $20 kind of felt worth it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, like that, other little creature comforts, right? So in the middle of the vehicle, they had a dongle with like five different cell phone chargers of every possible plug type that exists.
Very nice.
You know, so just like little things like that, that kind of are sort of the intangibles that just kind of make the experience nice. And then, frankly, you get, you know, unfiltered access to a cast member for however long you're in the vehicle. Right. And they're happy to discuss anything about Walt Disney World with you while you travel. So it's also kind of it's like the closest thing to having a VIP tour guide without actually going on a VIP tour.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like you had a great experience with it.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. We'd do it again.
All right. Well, you know, we've reached that point in the show where we do our sort of two big retrospective questions. And so the first one I like to ask people is, this is your second trip in the last 12 months, really. Each of these trips, you know, over time, you wonder if they start to run together. So what's going to be that one enduring image that always says to you, fall 2017?
I think couple of things. The two specifically. The one is enjoying our resort there at Kidani Village. My daughter running out and attempting to talk to the animals every morning. Right? You know, that's just really cool. Where else can you do that and have your coffee and hang out with giraffes? The other thing was just my daughter is starting to get to the point where she is, I think, understanding and putting together some of the special things of being at Mickey's house, as she would say. And so I really enjoyed riding the Aladdin's magic carpets with her and her just being excited to be there with me and doing that. So those are kind of the things you really latch onto as a parent. So while that's simple, that's something I'll definitely remember.
Very nice. And then, you know, the question we always like to wrap up on is, for somebody else who's thinking about a similar trip, and I want to focus here on, you know, a Walt Disney World trip with a 2-year-old, with a young child. Mm-hmm. What's one or two pieces of advice that, you know, you would give to somebody to make sure they get the most out of that trip? Maybe even just something that you wish somebody had told you.
Yeah, I think let them experience the way that they're going to experience it. I think I find myself, because this is something that I enjoy so much and I want her to share in it with us, that I kind of almost project the way I want her to enjoy an experience instead of kind of letting her navigate it and be excited about the things that she wants to be excited about. So even though, you know, she may not be able to necessarily express, hey, I want to go do this attraction next or do this or that. But, you know, if you're walking down Main Street and she sees something in a window that she's excited about and you want to sit there and look at it and enjoy it for a couple of minutes, do that, because those are the special moments about being on vacation with your family. And rushing from attraction to attraction or having to make sure you're at your fast pass window the first moment it becomes available, those things aren't worth a whole lot, but getting to enjoy the little things are. So
excellent, good advice. Well, you know, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us. It's always nice to get new voices on the show, and glad to have you here. Hope you maybe you'll come by and maybe sign up for a panel show. We'll have some more panel signups posted on the DizDads.com website here in the next week or so. So hopefully you'll join us for some recordings here soon on the panel as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.